Okay, so I am super drained. This is my third time trying to record this audio. And in the time, the original audio got corrupted, and then I just could not get it to open anywhere I could, there was no way to save it. The second attempt I made on my laptop sounded awful, like the quality. And then to try to solve things, I tried fixing my audio driver on my laptop and ended up getting this really annoying Windows 10 notification that's meant for people in Europe. I'm not in Europe. If you have Windows 10 or a Samsung, it's the "Hey, high volume can cause hearing problems," notification that never goes away. I had to reset my phone, and I lost some stuff, and then I had to restore it, and it's just okay. So, here we go. I'm gonna try to do this again for the third time, and if not, I'm just gonna answer it as its own text post because fuck this, I'm so tired. This is Petal's fifth questionnaire by Petal Baby. I believe I've answered her other questionnaires in the past, but here we go. Oh god, I feel so drained. It's like if you listen to the first audio before it was corrupted, I was so happy. Second audio, I was like more angry, and now I'm just tired. Okay. Question number one. What is your love language? Words of affirmation, acts of service, gifts, quality time, physical touch. I really do feel like I'm doing a job interview at this point. I just feel like it feels like I've been rehearsing these answers for so fucking long. Oh god, my water. Okay. Let's do this. Okay. Words of affirmation is my go-to because I like hearing compliments. I've always been insecure, and hearing people say nice stuff to me, genuinely nice stuff, feels great, I would say, yeah, I would say words of affirmation. Physical touch is up there, but I don't always like to be touched. So, yeah, words of affirmation, nice stuff. Two, how and when did you discover your favorite kink? If you're not kinky, how did you find GWA? Like a lot of people in my age group, we found porn through, if you had a PSP, you most likely were downloading porn because it had an internet browser. Parents would leave you alone with it, and the micro SD cards, you could save videos onto there. So I would go onto certain, I don't know how I found websites, I guess I just looked up porn, but I found websites, and the main videos that I would save were hentai. I found those best of clips that are like 6 minutes from kink.com, and a lot of those will also have anal in them, so I think those were the things I were drawn to. I would save maybe like six of them at a time on each of my micro SD cards, and I think with kink, so kink.com introduced me to bondage, BDSM, which I'm into. They have a series called Training of O, where I think it's like a week-long thing where women learn about dominance and submission. And they would sometimes do anal, and like a lot of people, I'm like, ew, disgusting, that's where you poop from. But like I started experimenting with it on myself, putting pens and paintbrushes up my ass, and it felt nice, so I got into it. And just in general, BDSM is a lot more graphic and out there than what I was used to at the time, so I was just naturally drawn to it. It was like unusual. But yeah. And impregnation, breeding. I'm not exactly sure how I got into it. I think it has a tie into dominance and ownership. that I would only practice in the bedroom. I'm not really into outside of the bedroom, not really into people being like, I own you. I hate it, but it's definitely a kink. Three, what do you wear to bed? It varies. Well, you don't know, that's why I'm answering. Sometimes I'm naked, other times I like to thrift men's blouses, dress shirts, things that button up, because I'm so small and they fit so loose on me. It's just very comfortable. The one I'm wearing right now is tie-dye, and this probably belonged to an artist. I see a lot of gold paint on this. The dye seems very deliberate and very specific. It's not just like, oh, just tie it up and just throw colors at it. It just seems like, I don't know. And it's very comfortable. It goes to my knees. I like it. I would wear it outside even. That's what I'm wearing right now. I'm wearing it unbuttoned though because it's hot, even though it's winter. I don't know why it feels like this. For where are you answering this questionnaire? I'm answering it in bed, like I do a lot of my audios. Five, what's your favorite kind of soup? I like a good old-fashioned chicken noodle soup. But I mean, it's very easy to mess up chicken noodle soup, in my opinion. I live near a diner, and their chicken noodle soup is pretty shitty. The broth is way too thick, the noodles are too thin, and the cuts of chicken are not the best. But a soup you can't go wrong with, I would say lentil soup. The beans somehow taste like meat. It's very hearty. Soup is probably like one of my favorite foods. And also tomato soup. I like thicker soups when it's meant to be thick. Chicken noodle soup should be a thinner broth. I don't know, I'm very particular about that stuff. And you know what? I can also have soup in summer. I don't know. I'm just that kind of person. Soup in summer and ice cream in winter. Six, how do you pronounce the word caramel? How about data, root, pecan, aunt, envelope, pajamas, crayon? I think you have your answer. Seven, would you have sex with an identical twin version of yourself? I just feel so bad for my neighbors. They're listening to this the third time. Oh my god. Would I have sex with an identical twin version of myself? I would say it's tempting, but no, because I honestly hate myself, and I think two of me would be too much. I would not be able to handle it. I think it's tempting because it'd be interesting to see how our two kinky minds can work together, but I would just be so annoyed. I'd just like think, who is this pretentious bitch who's selfish and thinks that everything has to be her way? I don't know. I would see too many of my negative qualities. Eight. Say your partner or potential significant other is well versed in a certain subject, and you find that knowledge to be extremely sexy. What would this subject be? Hands down, without a doubt, you know what? Doing this three times did reaffirm to me my opinions on this. Economics and finance. I don't have a daddy kink, and I'm not attracted to my own dad, but he really did try to raise me to be interested in economics and business. He told me that parents usually want to see their kids grow up to be like them, and he likes working office jobs, and that was never me. I never wanted to be bored sitting behind a cubicle, but we do watch Shark Tank together. I do learn basic economics from that. He'll explain certain things. We were recently talking about some controversial business proposition going on in our area recently. Big business coming in, and he explained the situation to me, and I understood it. I really do. I like Shark Tank, and I really do think that Shark Tank does explain the basics. I also took a college level business class in high school, so that's probably also where my knowledge of business comes from. But if I were to meet somebody who also had that interest, who, I don't know, maybe if it's like it's opposites attract, like they're a hard ass and they're like, I'm like the free spirit artist and he's like the straight edge business suit finance guy, I think that'd be pretty hot. I unfortunately do not know people like that, and they probably would not want to be around me, so. Nine, dating wise, how old is too old for you? How young is too young? So, without giving my age away, I would say too young for me would be like. It's hard to say. I think the most I'd be willing to go would be like 1 or 2 years younger than me because, like, once I start going beyond that, like a minor, like I would feel like some like I would just feel like I'd be taking advantage of this person and, you know, it'd feel wrong. But then too old. When I was 18, I was seeing a 30-year-old guy who was really abusive, but at the time I looked past that and I thought, oh my God, he's so mature because he's older. He's like 12 years older. And honestly, looking back, he was one of the most immature, childish guys I've ever met. Like, awful. 10 years, 12 years, definitely like way too old for me. I would say oldest I would be willing to go, 5 years. And even then, it's just sort of iffy. Maybe it makes me seem shallow. I would just prefer to be with someone like closer to my age, I don't know, within my same, maybe like 3 years, I don't know. 10. Has anyone ever told you sound like someone else, a celebrity, cartoon character, or anyone else? No one has said I sounded like anyone in particular. Some people have said that I sound masculine, like a guy in my audios. Well, that's not fair to say. No one on GWA told me that. It's just that I've recorded my voice before, and people that I know, like personally, have heard it, and they're like, "You sound like a boy." And it's just like, fuck off. Honestly, everybody sounds different in recording. In terms of looks, however, a lot of people have said I look like either Alicia Cara, the singer, although she's definitely more tan than I am, and hair's more curlier. But I can see that. And then recently, a lot of people have been saying I look like the shorter, thicker, curly-haired girl from Broad City. I don't watch Broad City, but I know who they're talking about. As soon as they say, "Yo, you know who you look like?" I'm like, "Please don't say it. I know you're gonna say it, and I don't agree because she's clearly like way older than I am. Like, I don't see the resemblance." Someone went so far as to say, "Yo, if you go to a club, like, you could probably pass as her." I'm like, no. No. 11. How old do you think your listeners think you are? I think my listeners think I'm in my like early to mid 20s, which is accurate. If I were to pick a specific age, 23 or 24. 12. Are you a picky eater? What will you absolutely not eat? Is there a food you like that most other people don't? I'm not a picky eater. My mom would kill me if I like my mom never raised me to be a picky eater because we were poor growing up and you know when you're poor, food is food. Like there's no room to be picky. And you know, naturally, I just like trying everything. I hear about people that they travel to like Southeast Asia and there's food they eat like fried worms and crickets and things and you know people might be like, "Ew, that's disgusting." But I'm just like, that sounds interesting. I would at least try it once, you know. I'm adventurous like that. I would be willing to try it. Maybe I won't like it, but you don't know if you're gonna like it unless you try it. What I will absolutely not eat. My top three things I will absolutely not eat. I will not eat black licorice. It is disgusting. And when I watch those Bean Boozled videos and people get black licorice and they're like, delicious. I'm like, no, absolutely not. I don't like circus peanuts, the candy that it dissolve it when you bite into it, it's like a weird chew and then like it dissolves on your tongue. It's so and then the flavor is just so gross. And then the third thing I won't eat. This is more geared towards my fellow Latinos. I do not like guava pastes. It's way too sweet. I was never a fan of guava, no. People like my grandma like can absolutely just munch on it all day, and I can never. It was ugh. But then in contrast, food that I like that most people don't like. I like pineapple pizza. It's a texture thing, okay? I like the texture of the soft pineapple on top of the pizza. I like steamed spinach. And I like, oh, what was the other one? Oh, I like, you know what? I'm so surprised a lot of people don't like cilantro. I absolutely love cilantro. Put it on everything. I'm so surprised people don't, but more for me. 13. Is there a certain country, culture, or time period you're fixated on and would like to learn more about? You know, my past two attempts at this questionnaire, I said I would love to learn more about 80s to 90s Japan. But now that I think about it, I would like to learn more about French painters, like in the 16 to 1800s, like that era, like Van Gogh era. I recently learned that there used to be this paint called Mummy Brown, and basically what it was that certain companies were taking mummies from Egypt and grinding them up and using the pigments that the ground up mummies made to use it as pigments for paint. And artists were using it and they weren't disclosing that it's like actual mummies, but then when people found out it's actual mummies, they boycotted the brands or the brand that was doing it and refused, and they were like, oh my God, this is horrible, this is sacrilege, you know, you're basically trashing art and you're shitting on the preservation of this art. Oh my God, how horrible. And as a result, the using Mummy Brown just became like not popular. Now you can find imitations of the color, but it's just like mind-boggling to me that like that was ever a thing. Things like that I would love to learn more about. 14. Can you comfortably go the rest of your life without falling in love? I spent a lot of time on this question in the last two attempts. Okay, I'm gonna try to keep it brief. I fall in love easy. I will admit it. I fall way too hard, way too fast, and it's not healthy. And recently I started my first real relationship. Lasted a month. And I mean, technically, I guess I am in a relationship. We're just on a break that I set up, but I set up the break because I was really stressed out, and I guess to a certain extent, I was worried and scared because, like, it's a new thing. I'm used to being single for pretty much all my life. I've trusted a lot of people. I've been hurt by a lot of people I trusted. It's very hard for me to trust people. That being said, I do still fall for people very fast, and I don't learn, I feel like. So I let this person in. They're great. But then I realized that I wasn't 100% satisfied. And then I felt guilty because I thought, well, this person's my boyfriend. I should feel like 100% satisfied, but I'm not. And I noticed that I would look at people and, like, on the commute to work or something, or passing by someone on the street, and I would be like, wow, they're really attractive. And then I would immediately start feeling guilty, like, oh my God, is that allowed? I'm in a relationship, I can't be thinking like that. I just got so guilty over everything. It was so overwhelming. And I told him, like, listen, I want to take a break so I can sort this stuff out. And, you know, I haven't. I thought when I said to take a break that I might use the opportunity to sleep with other people, but I haven't. I've just been alone, staying by myself, and it sucks to admit, but I kind of prefer being alone. So I could go the rest of my life without legitimately falling in love, but I don't know if I'd be comfortable. I think a lot of women in my family have shaped how I view things, and then now they change their way of going about life, and it's making me question things. Like, a lot of women in my family had either married young, had kids young, and stayed together and bitterly got divorced, or they stayed together and are not happy, or people like my mom went through several boyfriends and never found the one. And I always thought I never wanted to be like that. I wanted to be independent, but when I found the one, I found the one. No divorce, no multiple boyfriends or anything, you know? Put all my time and energy into one person. That sentence made no sense. My enunciation's really bad right now. Put all my time and energy into one person. But now, those same women, they're older, they're middle-aged or even older, and they're saying that they're content with living the rest of their lives alone because, you know, they've realized that, you know, the only person that they really need is themselves because they've been burned so bad by other people. And I'm just like, holy shit, like, that's different than what I saw growing up, you know? And I, you know, it's just like it changed everything I knew. And now I'm seeing that. Now I'm seeing that with this break that I'm taking from my boyfriend. Like, it sucks to say, I really do feel fine just on my own. I do feel lonely sometimes, you know? I do enjoy talking to people on here, but I don't know. I don't know. 15. Do you prefer blue skies or gray skies? I think ultimately I prefer gray skies because gray skies is amazing and beautiful in the fall. You have the leaves turning orange. It's Halloween. It rains a lot. I think rain is really romantic in the fall, and it goes especially well with gray skies. Although blue skies are nice, but I associate blue skies more with like the beach in the summer. I love gray skies. Especially when like the street lights turn on or there's just any lights in general and it tints the gray. That's really nice. 16. What were your favorite shows as a child? My favorite shows as a child. So I got the best of both worlds. Let me tell you, I lucked out. So my mom, I live with my mom on the weekdays, and we were poor. We had no cable. We just had basic channel 1 to like 18 or something, I don't know. And I believe, did we have an antenna? We might have had an antenna, and we would get like random channels when you would get into like the 40s and 60s, but it was never cable. I grew up on PBS. So I got to watch Arthur, Cyber Chase, Sesame Street. I would watch what are some other shows I watch? Clifford, JJ the Jet Plane, those kinds of shows. You know, the educational, those educational type shows. They were, you know, those shows were lit, honestly. But then on the weekends, when I went to my dad's house, they had cable, so I would get to watch Disney Channel, Cartoon Network, Nickelodeon. So pretty much all those early 2000 shows, That's So Raven, Samurai Jack, Dexter's Lab, Powerpuff Girls, Teen Titans, My Life as a Teenage Robot, Kappa Mikey, early SpongeBob. All those shows I got to watch on the weekends. So yeah, I really did luck out. I got to see both. But for my favorite, oh, also Adult Swim, because my dad did not give a shit. I watched Aqua Teen Hunger Force. I was really sad when the show finally ended. Family Guy, I would watch Toonami back in the day. Sailor Moon was like my favorite thing, and even, you know, I'm still a Sailor Moon fan. But then more adult shows that I watched as a kid that wasn't the kid channels. My dad would let me watch Comedy Central growing up, so I would watch South Park. I would watch South Park. Definitely my mom would be upset at me watching it, but I still watched it. South Park, the Chappelle Show. We would watch Daily Show going into Colbert Report back in the day. What are some other things that they had back then? Just like any late night specials, Comedy Central specials that they would have, like at midnight, I would watch. I used to watch, damn, on E! I used to watch The Soup. It's so adult, and like, I wouldn't always get the jokes, but like, they were still my favorite shows growing up, you know? Number 17, what is your favorite protein? Meat, I would say most meats, chicken, seafood, steak, yeah, all that stuff. I see that here it says in parentheses, if you're vegan, beans, soy. I do like beans, and you know, obviously, because my cultural background, beans is like a staple of our food. It's pretty much one of our five food groups as a Latina. As for soy and other stuff, so I'm actually lactose intolerant, and I'm trying to cut out dairy. And I supplement that with like soy milk, coconut milk, almond milk. I tried rice milk recently, which was actually pretty good. And I've been going to Trader Joe's more often. They have all that stuff for like $1 per carton. It's amazing. It's great, but it's also part of growing up, you know? Watching what you eat and budgeting and all that stuff. 18. Are you interested in true crime? I am, and I think true crime is interesting from a psychological point of view because it's like, I just naturally wonder, these serial killers that they kill multiple people, they have sex with the dead bodies, they chop them up and stuff. Like, what goes through their mind? Like, what inspires them to do that? Like, is it a genetic thing? Like, are we capable? Like, well, I mean, okay, so humans are capable of doing like crazy shit. Like, it's like that. It's okay. So I'm gonna reference a Daniel Tosh stand-up. I know he's like a very controversial comedian, but he did make a good point in his last stand-up. So when there's a crime, you know, like a serial killer or something, and they interview the neighbors, and the neighbor's like, "I can't believe it. I never could have seen it coming. You know, I can't imagine that they could do that." And he's just like, "I have never met a human that I couldn't wrap my head around the fact that they're capable of awful things. Like, yeah, everybody's capable of doing like really shitty things." And he was like, "Ladies, if you could see what the men next to you are thinking, you would fucking kill yourself." He's like, if his mom were ever, if his mom was ever arrested for killing kids, he'd be on the news like, "Yeah, I can fucking see it. Yeah. She used to yell at me growing up. Yeah, she probably hated kids." It's pretty much, yeah, it's. But is it like a thing that's locked away in all of us? And it just takes one day to snap? Or is it learned, you know? I think it could be a little bit of both. I think it's learned because Richard Ramirez, the Night Stalker, I think I was reading that as a kid in his developmental years, he was exposed to a lot of trauma, and I think his older brother was like really twisted and exposed him to a lot of stuff. His older brother served in the army and brought back pictures of like just really awful stuff he was doing to people over there, and you know, exposed it to his brother at a young age, and it affected him, obviously. People who are subjects of abuse, sucks to say, but often are abusers when they're older. I wish that wasn't the case, but it's just life. I do have morbid curiosities and things. I am interested in death. Well, not recently, but I used to frequently watch death videos, you know, I used to go on watch people die before it got quarantined. And I think actually ever since I got quarantined, I haven't actively sought out anything. It's not that I'm saying like, "Oh my God, if you do that, you're awful." I'm just saying that. It just doesn't really interest me anymore. I also relate to. Okay, so Louis C.K. did a thing where he said his daughter, I think she got bitten by a goat, and he said that every time she gets scared about something, she has to look it up and learn everything about it. And I agree. If I find out about some mass tragedy, some disaster, I have to look it up. I have to research it. One night, I ended up in a wormhole of just like going on Wikipedia and just looking up like every incident that they logged of like worst club fires or something. Or yeah, I think it was club fires. Worst club fires. It turns out that where I live, there actually was a fire on that list. I won't give it away, but my family actually remembers when that fire happened. They said it was a big deal. It really affected the community. A lot of people knew somebody who was killed in the fire, and word spread out on the street before the news reported it. It's pretty interesting. But it's considered very taboo. I don't like the fact that if you express interest in this kind of stuff, people will be like, "Oh my God, why would you want to learn about that? You're twisted." And it's like, listen, I'm not saying that I'm one of those girls who go on Tumblr or like LiveJournal, like, "Oh my God, I love the Columbine Killers and all the stuff. Ooh, me Photoshop flower crowns." I'm not saying I'm doing that. I'm just saying, like, from a psychological point of view, it's just interesting. I think humans just have a morbid curiosity, and you shouldn't be ashamed of that. It's what you do with that information, though, that makes all the difference, okay? 19. What are your hard limits sexually? Absolutely will not do age play. I'm sorry. I'm just. Well, actually, no, I'm not sorry. I don't have to be sorry. I am not interested in age play because, briefly, I thought I might have been into the daddy kink. I presented it to, surprise, surprise, the older guy I was seeing when I was 18, and we tried it out. He made me dress up like a little girl, and I told him, "Okay, well, if I dress up like a little girl, I want you to dress up in a suit." It seemed like an even exchange. He presses me to the wall and fucks me, and I turn around. He took off his suit, and I'm like, "What the fuck? So you're not committed to this? You know, you're not like you're taking, you're not giving." And then another time, he wanted me to pretend I was a little girl waking up from a nightmare and going to her daddy for comfort. And while we were fucking after, because obviously it was gonna lead to sex. While we were fucking, he starts calling himself daddy, calling me little girl. It was just so, I felt so gross. I was just, not to kink shame, but I just was not interested in it. It was just so, it was such a turn off. I remember I was like intentionally squeezing my pussy down so like he would finish so I could just go to sleep because it's just so gross. I am a little ashamed to admit that there's a lot of times that I fuck somebody that I've done stuff to speed up the process because I wasn't feeling it and I didn't have the confidence and courage to tell them I want to stop, you know? Not into race play. I touched this in my last Q&A audio. I'm not comfortable with being fetishized based on stereotypes. I'm not into bathroom stuff. I would piss on somebody if I cared about them. I just would not be pissed on. But other than that, vomit, scat, gore, blood play, that stuff I'm not into. Blackmailing, I'm not into. Cucking, I'm not into. I'm not into sleep sex, so like waking somebody up with sex or having sex with someone while they're sleeping, I'm not interested in that, honestly. That's a very hard limit because again, older guy did stuff to me while I was sleeping, or I fell asleep part way and he continued and I was uncomfortable because you can't give consent when you're sleeping. And in these situations I hadn't told him beforehand, "Yeah, you could fuck me if I'm sleeping." I never told him that. And he just went for it. And I remember asking him the first time, "Why would you do that?" And he told me, "Well, I wasn't sure I was going to, but I decided to do it." And it's like, that doesn't make it right. Okay, consent is a must for anything because the other thing I'm not interested in, I'm into consensual non-consent. It means that I'm telling you beforehand, yes, I give you permission to do this. I give you permission to fuck me when I'm least expecting. I didn't do that with him. He just took what he wanted. And another example of that is, I remember we had just gone. We just we ugh. We had just gotten done fucking. It was nighttime. I leaned against the window and I turned around and he was taking pictures of me without my consent. And when I turned around, I was upset and he said, "No, go back to what you were doing. Go back to your pose." I'm like in my mind, I'm just thinking, "What the fuck?" But at the same time, I overlooked it 'cause I thought he cared about me. I thought it was a very one-sided thing. I thought he cared about me. I thought he knew best because he was older, and he didn't, and he completely violated my trust. And I didn't realize it until after I cut ties with him. Okay, 20 to not be so depressing. Do you like reality television? I do like certain trashy shows, yes. I prefer competition reality TV. I'm not really interested in like Keeping Up with the Kardashians or that type of TV. I like America's Next Top Model, Bad Girls Club. That is super trash. Oh my god. It's like, let's take these girls who claim that they're about that life and love to fight and put them in this one house and then tell them, like, if you fight, if you physically fight, you gotta go home. But let's provoke them into physically fighting. When I was younger, in the mid 2000s, there was a trend on VH1 where it was like Flavor Flav had a show like The Bachelor. It was like Flavor of Love, Rock of Love, I Love New York, and all this stuff. And I think honestly, my favorite thing to come out of that was New York, Tiffany Pollard. She's just amazing. She's so iconic and quotable and just truly the head bitch in charge, as she calls herself, the HBIC. Recently, she was on Big Brother UK because I think every season they bring one American onto the show, and I think I read that she was like the most, she was like definitely like a fan favorite, like one of the most popular people on the show because she just had that energy. She was so loud and about it, and contrasted heavily with the, like, in comparison, reserved people on the show. My favorite is when she roasts this the contestant gave her a pair of shoes and then stole them back, and she just digs into her and roasts her about it, and it was just so funny. You could look it up on YouTube, but she went so far as to say she does not have the vernacular required to wear those shoes. She said they're meant to be worn by someone beautiful, and if that's the case, she should have put them back on the shelf. Someone lied to her and said that she was fly, and she's nothing like that. She's just like redder to filth over these fucking shoes. Oh my god. I thought that was amazing. Oh my god, there's a channel on YouTube that uploaded all those old VH1 shows. They also uploaded New York Gets a Job. And I think recently they've been uploading The Simple Life, which I didn't get to watch growing up, but like I've been watching it now. I'm just like, what the fuck? It's Paris Hilton and Nicole Richie, I think. Yeah, I think it's Nicole Richie. They, cause they're daughters of wealthy families, they sent them to Middle America to live with a farm family, and pretty much what it is that they are going day to day, working jobs and trying to learn what it's like to be come from like a, you know, very like lower class compared to what they're used to, family, and it's just so funny, just how, cause like I it's stuff I relate to in terms of like, you know, they're working fast food, they're working just like basic, like they're basically living against living with commoners, and you know where I'm at, I'm a commoner, and it's just really funny to see things that are normal for me, how they're reacting and like disgust and mocking. I don't know, it's just, it's so trashy. 21, what do you think of pegging? Like I said, I'm interested in trying anything once. I would be interested in trying it, but it's just a matter of finding someone who is willing to let me stick a fake dick up their ass, you know? So, yeah. I would be willing to try it though. 21, how would you describe how adults ask each other out versus how kids do it? Kids do not date. Let's put that out right now. Kids do not date. When you're young, you go to your elementary school or wherever, even middle school. You go up to the person you like, you're like, "Hey, I like you." And they're like, "I like you too. Let's go out." And then from then on, you're going out. You're not going out. You're seeing each other from Monday through Friday from 8 to 3. You're telling people that you go to school if you're going out, but you're not going out outside of school. You're not in a real relationship, honestly. High school, yes, I can see high, I think when you get into high school, it's like a legitimate relationship, but when you're like, I think I would dare say middle school and under, you're not in a really real relationship unless you're actually going out. Like, I think at that age, you're still developing, you're still figuring things out. And because of that, I think you're not really sure. I just think of all the stupid shit that happened when I was a kid that makes me think, like, yeah, that's not a real relationship. That's not how it goes at all. It's like I was babysitting one time for my step cousins, and we were watching a High School Musical, and they were like, "Is that what high school's really like?" And I'm like, "Absolutely not. It's like that, you know? It's like, look, it's like like that age. Is this what a relationship is? No, it's not. It's not at all like that. When you're an adult, yes, you're physically attracted to the person. You think they're, you know, they're pretty, they're handsome, or whatever, and you either are meeting through a friend of a friend or on a dating app, and you get to know them first, you know? You go out on dates before you become an official couple, you know? You want to kind of, those dates are kind of like test driving, you know? You're seeing what they're like. They're like, hey, we have common interests. We like the same music. We have the same views on certain things. And because of that, will you be my girlfriend or my boyfriend? Yes, I would. And then from there, you're gonna have to go through a lot of, not hardships, but you're gonna have to go through a lot of difficult things when you go out. Like, okay, so definitely, like, you know, in elementary school, because you're not going out, middle school, you're not going out, you don't have to worry about who's working and who's gonna pay for what. When you're an adult, you go out. Like, with my boyfriend, it was like, go to a bar or something, and then be like, okay, you know, we're gonna split the bill. All right, you pay for drinks, I pay for food, or whatever. Usually it was the other way around. I was usually paying for drinks, because I drink more. But you know, you learn how to split the bills like that. You learn how to split your time evenly. When you're an adult, you're balancing your commitments. You know, you're working or you're in school, both. Who knows? And you can't be with that person you're dating 24/7. Unlike elementary school and middle school, where you do see each other almost every day, because you have to, you're going to the same school. But when you're an adult, it's like, okay, so I work and go to school, and then they go to work, whatever, we work at different places. Like, you know, you gotta find time, but then you can't cut out your family or your homework or other things that take up your time. You really gotta learn how to budget your time. And that's just not stuff that kids do, you know? It's very, very vastly different. 23. Do you like raw onions in your food? I would say it depends on the food, honestly. I just flat out, I don't think I like red onions. But I like I don't like, it depends on the food. I don't like onions in my burgers, but I do like onions in my tacos. I like onion rings, but I don't like the crunchy onion chip thing. I don't know. 24, can you curl your pinky without moving your ring finger? No, absolutely not. I've tried for years. Not happening. On either hand, 25. When sleeping next to a partner, do you prefer full-on cuddling, touching a bit, or not touching at all? I prefer full-on cuddling. Come on, like, I'm you know, touch-starved, honestly. Like, I like that contact, which plays into the first question. I do think I like words more, but I do like physical contact. I do like cuddling in bed. Yes, definitely. Even when we're, like, especially when we're sleeping. Yeah. And I'm so tiny. I'm 5 feet tall, and how much do I weigh? I think I weigh like any. My weight fluctuates, but not by a crazy amount. I'm either 96 pounds or like 100. I think the most I've ever weighed was like 113. Which was honestly like an achievement for me when that happened. And then I got depressed that year and I dropped down to 95. I was so shocked when I heard that. Because I didn't even realize I lost weight. I didn't feel like it. I wasn't intentionally trying to do it, but yeah, I'm tiny, I'm petite. I definitely love being a little spoon. 26. Do you shop at Costco or any membership-based shopping center? I do not because the nearest ones around me require you gotta drive to them, and I do not drive. I do not have a car or a license because driving honestly scares me. And my family keeps asking, when are you getting your license, your permit? And it's just, it's a work in progress. I do not. I think the closest thing I've considered was getting Amazon Prime, because I do order quite a bit from Amazon. But then I start to think, damn, do I order enough that would justify it? Because I'm also not working at the moment. And then I talk myself out of it, like, no, I don't need it, whatever. 27. What is a sexy scenario you fantasize about, but literally cannot happen for you in real life? So the suggestions in this question are like medieval, furry, being young again, but mine is more relatable, I would say, to the GWA community. I feel like a little bit of a hypocrite because there was a question on backstage about getting crushes on performers. And I said, no, it's not a good idea because these are just regular people. But now I feel like a hypocrite because there definitely have been times where I've listened to performers and audios that line up with my interests. And I think, damn, that'd be so cool to fuck this person, it's not gonna happen. It's probably not. Some people like to be optimistic and say never. You never know what happened, what could happen. But I'm just like, yeah, probably not gonna happen. 28. What's a fashion trend of your youth you find absolutely atrocious now? Okay. I want everybody listening to this to go look up pictures of Ashley Tisdale in the early 2000s at red carpet events. Almost everything you see her wearing is the embodied. Ugh. I didn't even pronounce the D on that. Wow, you really showed off your accent. They are the embodiment of early 2000s fashion. The bootcut jeans, wearing skirts and dresses over those bootcut jeans, t-shirts under tank tops, long ass scarves that go to the knees, crochet knit, wedges, flip-flops under what is otherwise like fancy wear. Little handbags that go under the armpits, like that is peak 2000s. And then for makeup, it was like super thin eyebrows and frosted lips and eyeshadow. But like, oh my god, I look at it and I'm just like, I can't believe it. Like, I just can't believe I ever looked up to that as like style icon. Yeah, inspiration, because it's just so bad. Such is the cycle of life. Every generation goes through that. Every generation looks at the past generation and shits on them and thinks, ugh, horrible. I'm way more advanced, That's just how life goes. Like, things that we think are hot right now, there's certainly children that are gonna grow up, or, our children are gonna grow up and be like, ew, that was a look. Thicker eyebrows and contour and, what are some clothes popular right now? Like those skin tight dresses that are like just one solid color, crop tops maybe. I don't know. Yeah, I think my kids are definitely gonna look back at it and be like, oh, that was the style, and be like, yo, you don't know that style, What you know about that bodysuit with the jeans on top combo? That's my style, honestly. 29. What is your favorite accent? Also, please best describe the quality of a voice that would really draw you in. My favorite accents tend to be European accents like English, I forgot how to say French for a second. French. I like hearing Russian spoken in a Russian accent. Russian spoken in Russian. I think to a certain extent, Australian. I can't think of any accent here in America that is attractive to me. Absolutely not. I will say though that, like, I don't hear it, but at work, well, when I was working, I had like a, I would have cashier duty sometimes, and sometimes tourists and other people would hear me talk and point out my accent. I think the big thing that they got on my case about was that they would be like, oh, how much does this cost? And I would say, oh, it costs like that. I didn't think it sounded like that, but that's what they said it sounded like. They'd be like, "Wow, oh my God, I can't believe you said it like that." It's just like, that's just how I speak. I don't think there's anything crazy about it, but they would say, I would say it like cost. But I think I make a point of not having my accent present here on GWA because you are hearing my Reddit voice right now. I try to enunciate properly. I try to speak proper. But if you really knew me, if you knew the Lavender that was not on GWA, you would think I was a different person because I speak completely ghetto, I guess would be the way to call it, you know. A lot of slang in how I speak. Yeah, it's just, yeah. But the second part, best describe the quality of a voice that would really draw me in. I like voices that have range, you know. When I listen to certain performers here on GWA, I like the voices that can do, you know, deep, dominant, seductive, you know, in control voices, but then they're also capable of doing higher pitch, you know, like nervous, like, you know, switch, submissive type voices, you know. I think so, yeah, I think something capable of having range, something that is capable of, something that's capable of, voices that are capable of making me go from like, oh my God, I'm about to be dominated, to like, ooh, come here, boy. I think those kinds of voices. 30, do you keep things formal between you and your listeners, simply thanking them for listening to your audios, or do you flirt back sometimes? I will try to keep this as non-ranty as possible because my last two attempts at this audio, I flew off into harsh tangents, and I'm not sure if the length of the recording is why my voice memo thing was having problems, but I'm gonna try to keep it short. Okay, to quote Chicago, when you're good to mama, mama's good to you. If you show me respect, I will respect you. For the most part, people are respectful in the comments of my posts. If they're not, I just ignore. When it comes to audio posts on GWA, because this is, you know, this is GWA backstage, people are very polite because they have to adhere by GWA's rules, which say be polite. But when people come to my inbox, it's a different story. All of a sudden, people get very demanding and rude and think that I owe them something. And I think the worst thing I've seen was, like, you know, like, okay, so I can be, I'll be flirty in the comments, right? Everybody can see them. I'll be flirty there. When it comes to my inbox, I prefer to be more professional and keep things professional. I don't like to respond to messages that call me a whore or a slut. They're not saying it to, you know, they're not saying it negatively to tell me like I should be ashamed for what I'm doing. They say it in a way that they think that because I did an audio where I was degrading myself, that I, Lavender, the person behind the audio, also likes to be called that. No, you do not come into my inbox and start talking to me however you think you can talk to me. You show me respect, okay? For the most part, when it happens, I ignore it, I'll delete it, I'll block them. There have been times where I give them the benefit of the doubt and I tell them like, hey, this is very, you know, problematic for you to be telling, for you to be talking to me like this. And, you know, sometimes they'll say, oh, sorry, I just thought that you'd be into it. Other times they'll be like, wow, what a bitch, you know, I just thought, I guess not. It's just like, no, that's the easiest way to get blocked. Like, fuck off. I'm not interested. Like, I and the other GWA performers are doing this as a hobby, for fun, a creative outlet. We're letting you into this little world, and you don't get to just become demanding and act like we're your personal, like, on-demand performers. Like, no, you don't get to control my life. I have had several instances of people messaging me and telling me, and it's not, I don't want it to be interpreted as anything anti-American, because it's not, but I've had so many people, them so entitled, message me privately who start out saying, I'm in the military, I'm in the army, I'm away from home. I want you to record an audio doing this. They demand it. They tell me what length it has to be and all the stuff. They're not paying me. This isn't a commission. They're just telling me because I'm away from home, oh, I'm serving the country. I want this. And then at the end, all of them, I kid you not, all of them at the end say, oh, and be nice when you're responding. I just block and delete, and I'm just like, I'm not entertaining that. No, your profession doesn't matter. You could be a veterinarian, you can be a doctor, you could be a teacher. I don't care what your profession is. You do not come into my inbox to treat me like that. No, absolutely not. So I will be formal. I keep things formal between me and my listeners in my inbox. Otherwise, I'll be flirty. That's kind of, that's like somewhat the nature of the thing, but there's a time and a place, When you come into my inbox talking about where do you live? What's your real name? How old are you? And all that stuff. It's just so, it's not right. And there was somebody who used to be, there was somebody who was private messaging a while back, performers here in the community, trying to dox them. And I did have a run-in with that person, and I just beat them at their own game. I just trolled them and made them upset. I got them upset to the point that they said, you're not even worth it. And it's like, no, I know my worth. You're just a piece of shit. Like, you're just a really shitty person, I reported him and everything. You're not entitled. You listen to my audios, that's great, but you're not entitled to anything other than I choose to present. I'm gonna phrase it that way. 31, do you mind receiving pet names from strangers? That kind of ties into it. People call me Cutie because that's to be expected. It's my username, but like I said, I don't like when they drag it into degrading names, calling me a slut and a whore, because it's like, no, I'm not interested. I'm not a fan. Like, stop. Lighter-hearted, nice names, yes, but other than that, don't. 32, what are some facial features a person can have that you would find exceptionally striking? Eyes and cheekbones, I think, definitely. And on, that's just universal, but on women in particular, I love eyebrows and like the shapes and the thickness and everything. I think it's great. Women are very beautiful. And on men, it sounds wrong, but I think height is the first thing I notice on men, but definitely facial features are also a plus. 33, can you count how many sexual partners you've had on all your fingers? How about all your fingers and toes? I have counted already. It's been 10 people on the dots. Yep. And finally, so we could close this out, 34, have you spoken to your favorite poster on GWA already? I have indeed, and they were very cool. I wish that they were more active. I understand, like, everybody has their own reasons as to why they don't post, but I miss them. They're really cool. Really enjoyed talking. It was very nerve-wracking reaching out to them, but I enjoyed talking to them afterwards, and it's pretty cool. I do regret not privately inboxing. I'm not gonna name them because they deleted their account and all their stuff a long while ago, but my last favorite performer. I only ever commented on his posts. I never really reached out in private. I don't think I have. Probably buried somewhere. I don't know. I think for the most part, yeah, I was just commenting. And then I would get the usual, like, oh, thank you for listening. I regret not reaching out in private. But you know what? My current favorite poster, yes, I have reached out and I'm happy with that. So, with that, hopefully, this is the last ever recording I have to make for this. I will go crazy if I have to do this a fourth time. But this has been Cutie and Lavender answering a questionnaire for Gone Wild Audio Backstage, and I hope everybody has a good night. It's like almost 3 a.m. And yeah, everybody please get some sleep. And this is Cutie and Lavender signing off. Stay gold.